Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times bestselling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Well, hello, and welcome to this Wednesday edition of our program. I'm thrilled that you're with me here at the midpoint of the week, and I trust that you've been with me all week as we've been listening to Derek Prince teach us a series called Pages from My Life's Book. It really is a fascinating recounting of Derek Prince's conversion and coming into the Christian life and the way the Holy Spirit discipled him in the deserts of Northern Africa during World War II. You know, I love listening to this story because I love so much watching the processes of discipleship worked into the life of a man who knew virtually nothing about Christianity. Everything that God took him to, from the scriptures to fasting to prayer to intercession, all of it was new to him. He didn't have language for it, and yet he was a very learned man. He was a man who was a student at the time, really an early professor at Cambridge, an intelligent man, a man with a knowledge of the biblical languages to some extent, and yet spiritual truths were new to him. So as the Holy Spirit brought him to these truths, we can actually have the privilege of watching him encounter them in sort of a pristine way, an untainted way. And it reminds me so much of the kind of spiritual hunger I see in the young today, in the 20-somethings. They're not real excited about church. They're not real excited about pastors and religious structures and what they call organized religion. But increasingly, the surveys show us they're passionate about God, passionate about a relationship with Jesus, and passionate about walking in his ways. That's what Derek is modeling for us. Now let's listen as Derek Prince teaches us about these years of being discipled in the desert.
Shortly after I had come to know the Lord in a personal way in World War II, I spent 3 years serving as a hospital attendant with the British forces in the deserts of North Africa. God used this period of my life to teach me from the Bible and from personal experience many of the basic lessons of the Christian life. Yesterday, I shared with you how the Lord showed me, in a very vivid way, two aspects of my identification with Christ, that I had been crucified with Christ, and also that I had been buried with him. Today, I'm going to share with you two further practical lessons that God taught me during this period. The first lesson relates to fasting. Before I say anything about this, perhaps I should give a brief definition of what I mean by fasting. By fasting, I understand abstaining from food deliberately by choice for spiritual purposes. I say abstaining from food because in most cases in the Bible where people fasted, they abstained from food but not from water. Sometimes they also abstained from water, but that was something of an exception. So I'm talking now about fasting as abstaining from food by deliberate choice, even when food is available, for spiritual purposes. One of the things that the Holy Spirit showed me immediately, I think only maybe 4 weeks after I'd come to know the Lord in a personal way, the Holy Spirit showed me that fasting is a normal part of Christian life and discipline. It's not something strange or way out that a few fanatics sometimes practiced. It's a normal part of Christian life and discipline. As a matter of fact, later on, when I was able to attend churches and hear preachers, I was astonished that so many Christians seemed to know nothing whatever of what the Bible had to say about fasting. And yet, the Bible is full of fasting, not least the New Testament. For instance, Jesus himself fasted, and he assumed that his disciples would fast. In the Sermon on the Mount, when he was laying down the principles of the Christian life, in chapter 6, he said to them, "When you fast." He didn't say, "If you fast." He said, "When you fast." In other words, he assumed that they would be fasting, and he gave them the principles to follow. In chapter 6, he says, "When," about three things: when you give alms, when you pray, and when you fast. Clearly, he assumed that all his disciples would do all three of those things: give alms, pray, and fast. If we look on in the New Testament, we find that the early church fasted and that its leaders fasted. Paul said of himself that he was often in fastings. It was a thing that he practiced frequently. If you look back in the Old Testament, you find that many of God's most faithful servants fasted. To name just a few, Moses, David, and some of the other kings, Elijah, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. And you find that in some cases, the fasting of God's people brought down divine intervention and changed the course of history. At any rate, without my knowing all these facts from the Bible, the Holy Spirit just showed me that God wanted me to fast. And so, in the desert for 2 or 3 years, I normally fasted each Wednesday. I went without food all Wednesday. The reaction of my fellow soldiers was somewhat amusing. Those of you who know anything about the religion of Islam will know that the Muslims have 1 month in the year called Ramadan, where they don't eat in the daytime. They eat plenty at night, but nothing in daytime. It's a month of fasting. Well, because we were in a Muslim country in Egypt, the British soldiers had learned a little about Ramadan. So the soldiers in my particular company used to call Wednesday Ramadan, because that was the day I fasted. Of course, I didn't make a show of fasting, but when you're living in close quarters with men every hour of the day and night, if you don't eat your meals, they certainly notice it. The attitude of my fellow soldiers was rather remarkable. After that, they saw that my faith was genuine and that I was really leading a life that corresponded to what I believed. Although they didn't want to join me in my faith, they respected me. And in a strange way, they were glad to have me, because in moments of danger, they considered me to be a kind of insurance policy with them. More than once when we were in a real difficult situation, and once when our little medical unit was cut off behind the enemy lines and we didn't know where we were going to end up, I remember one of those tough, blaspheming British soldiers came to me and he said, "Corporal Prince, I'm glad you're with us." So although they didn't follow my example, they respected my life. And in many ways, I think I was a kind of help and protection to those soldiers. For 2 years in active service, we hardly lost one man out of that company. And that was a very unusual record in those circumstances. Interestingly enough, later when I read the journal of John Wesley, the founder of the Methodists, I discovered that John Wesley practiced fasting regularly and that he would not ordain a man to the Methodist ministry who would not promise to fast each Wednesday and Friday till 4 p.m. So I learned that God had shown this lesson to others, but he showed it to me individually and personally.
You know what I love about the story of Derek Prince in the desert is that every discipline, everything that I have encountered as a discipline in the Christian life, Derek encountered as a natural outgrowth of a relationship with Jesus. In other words, I came to Jesus through ministries, through churches, and that's wonderful. And they taught me disciplines that I ought to be engaging. Derek had the privilege of not having any of those structures, any of those supports, and simply being taught by God from the Word, so that these things I call disciplines became lifelong habits for him because they came out of a relationship with Jesus. Fasting became an opportunity to draw near to God. This is what it should be in our own lives. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to do that same thing for us. So much more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Across more than 50 years of ministry, Derek Prince experienced many extraordinary encounters with the presence and person of God. For those who have wished they could have spent some one-to-one time with the man and heard him share details of these encounters, we are pleased to make available The Next Best Thing, delivered in a heart-to-heart style. Derek's message, Truth, Faith, Love, My God-Given Goals, brings you his personal account of his encounters with Almighty God. In this special audio CD, you'll hear how Derek discovered the reality of God and experienced the tremendous power of his Holy Spirit. You'll enjoy wonderful stories of God's supernatural power working in his life and the lives of those around him. You'll be encouraged by the faithfulness of God and drawn to press more deeply into his presence, which is why we want you to have a copy of your own absolutely free. To get your copy of this exceptional audio CD, Truth, Faith, Love, My God-Given Goals, free and postage paid, simply request it when you call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The call and this special CD are both free. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. in Canada, call 888-737-0771 or visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, delighted that you're with me. I hope you've been with me all day as Derek Prince has been talking about the lessons that he learned at the hand of God regarding the spiritual life in North Africa during World War II. I've never really heard a testimony quite like it. And what it does is it breaks out for us spiritual truths as Derek learned them and as they came out of his relationship with Jesus. I'll tell you that Derek was a man of fasting. Derek was a man who fasted once or twice a week, all of his life after he became a Christian, and then for long seasons of his life, and yet he did it wisely so that it did not damage his body. But boy, did he really give birth to the prayer and fasting movement in the latter part, at least of American history, and I think in other countries as well. So let's listen and drink deep from these great truths about fasting that Derek learned in the deserts of North Africa.
I would like to just briefly mention three results in my life from fasting. Three things that I experienced. First, I experienced a sense of the nearness of God. As I separated myself from material things, spiritual things became more real. Secondly, I got special insight into Scripture in periods of fasting. And thirdly, I obtained specific answers to prayer through fasting. I want to give you one specific example of how God answered prayer for me when I fasted. One of the things about desert conditions, which is very obvious in the history of the children of Israel, is that the desert tends to provoke murmuring or complaining. This happened with Israel many times, and it often brought God's judgment and disfavor upon them, and they had to repent. Well, I have to say that I went through some of the same experiences. I began to complain many times. I got so weary of the desert and the food and the blaspheming British soldiers. And I said, Lord, why do you have to keep me here? Why can't you give me some other place to be? And when I did this, I lost my sense of God's presence and blessing. I knew still somewhere that God was caring for me, that God was real, but my close and intimate personal relationship with God that had become so precious to me somehow seemed to have disappeared. So one day I decided to set aside a special day, not a Wednesday, but some other day, to fast and to ask God the reason why His presence seemed to have been withdrawn from me. So I spent the whole day fasting. It was a day when we were not moving around. We were near some base depot. And I said, God, why aren't you near to me? Why do I have to continue in this monotonous, wearisome life in this desert? And by the evening, God gave me an answer. He spoke to me very clearly in words that I can record for you. And He said this, why have you not thanked me? Why have you not praised me? And as I meditated on what God said, I began to see that I had become unthankful, that I had stopped thanking God and praising Him, and that was why I had lost the sense of God's presence. And so in that way I learned the importance of continual thanksgiving and praise in the Christian life. And in due course the Holy Spirit directed me to various scriptures along this line. I'd like to share with you just two of those scriptures. The first is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 19. Paul says three or four very simple things. Rejoice always, even in the desert. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. In everything includes there in the desert, with the flies and the sand and the bad food and the blaspheming soldiers. In everything give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. The implication is that if we don't always rejoice, if we don't pray without ceasing, and if we don't give thanks in everything, we are quenching the Holy Spirit. And that's what I had done. By murmuring and complaining instead of praising and giving thanks, I had quenched the Holy Spirit in my life. And then there's a passage in Hebrews 13:15. Through Him then, that's Jesus, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name. And there again I saw that as Christians, God expects us to continually offer up a sacrifice of praise, and that it comes from our lips, not just inwardly from our hearts, but from our lips, that we have to make our praise vocal, and it's by giving thanks to the name of the Lord. And I saw that praise is a sacrifice. This was a real lesson for me, that a sacrifice costs something, that I had to praise God the most when I felt like praising Him the least, and that that was when my praise was most acceptable to God. So I adjusted my life, and I learned the discipline of giving thanks and praising God in every situation and circumstance. And you know what I discovered? My circumstances didn't change, but I did. And when I changed, then my view of my circumstances became different too.
You know, I want to talk to you about this issue of fasting for just a few moments. I know that in my own life, fasting has been almost a condemning, legalistic experience at times because of the way that I learned it. Derek, though, learned fasting out of a relationship with God, a relationship with the Holy Spirit, as he was in the British Army there in North Africa during World War II. And he says that the experiences he had through fasting were a sense of the nearness of God, special insight into Scripture, and specific answers to prayer. I want to urge you, those of you who really don't have a discipline in fasting, to begin to find your own path in fasting. You don't have to do what the great saints did. You don't have to start with a 40-day fast or a week or a day a week even. Find your own path and do something that is a delight to do. Give up one meal. Give up a certain kind of food. Do something that is an offering to your God. Find your level of offering to God what you can and watch Him move into your life in a special and a gracious way. Listen, we've got a resource for you that will really help you burn these truths into your soul. It's called Truth, Faith, Love, My God-Given Goals. It's a CD, a teaching CD by Derek Prince that really talks about how to build these truths into the foundations of your spiritual house. Truth, Faith, Love, My God-Given Goals. It's a CD free for you. We want to send it to you free and postage paid. Get that by logging onto the website at derekprince.org. There's more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
He was a remarkable man, and his life was an extraordinary journey of adventure, discovery, and redemption. Now, Stephen Mansfield, author of the New York Times bestseller, The Faith of George W. Bush, has captured that journey in Derek Prince, a biography, a frank, transparent, and fascinating account of one of the 20th century's great spiritual leaders, from England's most prestigious universities to the battlefields of World War II to the drama surrounding the birth of the nation of Israel. This new biography makes you an eyewitness to history while it brings you life-transforming spiritual insights. Derek Prince, a biography, is yours for only $19.95. Call toll-free 800-448-3261. Shipping is free. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Like Derek Prince, you too can triumph over tragedy with the power of the Holy Spirit. Call 800-448-3261 or visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Glad you're with me here today on this Wednesday. And joining me today from Fort Lauderdale is Pastor Jeff Buck, who has extensive experience with Derek Prince, knew him as a young man, traveled with him, eventually was on his board, really had a close-up view of Derek's life. And since we're talking about lessons from Derek's life's book, and since we're talking about prayer and fasting, particularly as a theme in his life, I wanted to ask Jeff to bring some insight to us today. Jeff, thanks for being with us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Now, when we mentioned to you the idea of doing this, of helping us understand Derek's life and fasting, you just jumped at it. Tell us why.
Oh, that's an easy one. Derek, of course, was instrumental in the founding of Intercessor for America, an organization that was strong in prayer and fasting. And he wrote a book, Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting, in 1975-76. He spent, and I recall seeing his itinerary that year, all of 1976. In the United States, going city to city, teaching on praying and fasting for the government, praying and fasting for America. Derek went on a number of different fasts in his life. His basic discipline was he fasted every Wednesday. In fact, he said to me quietly, privately once, he said, I have fasted, and he was never one who would brag about such things. This was a very quiet, private comment. I fasted every Wednesday for 60 years. And he said, I've counted it up. I spent 7 years of my life, not in a row, but 7 years of my life in fasting. I recall in perhaps 2001, 2002 somewhere, right before Derek became ill and went into physical decline, I went up to Charlotte to see him for some kind of meeting, and he didn't look to be quite himself. and he was kind of weak, and he had just come off a 3-day juice fast. And I was thinking, Derek, now you're 81, 82, whatever he was at the time. I thought, you're going to keep this up to the end, aren't you? You really are a man of prayer and fasting. I went to his condo several times on Wednesdays, and there he was. He was on his face seeking the Lord. He was a man who deeply, deeply believed in prayer and fasting. He actually was, in one of his primary giftings, an intercessor. And I remember he would always spend the first Wednesday of the month in prayer and fasting, the whole day deciding what to pray and fast for the next month. He was that kind of a man who was very strategic and careful in his intercession, and always up until his 80s mixed it consistently with fasting.
Well, and if I recall correctly from writing the bio and the research and spending time with him and, of course, reading his story, a lot of these lessons first came into his life as the Lord taught him in the sands of North Africa during World War II.
North Africa was the seat of everything. When he was there, God laid it on his heart to begin that discipline of the Wednesday fasts. I don't know if he had read about the Wesleys doing that or not, but he began in the Sudan. He began when it was not popular or known in any circles to do prayer and fasting. He did that, and he was one of the men in America especially that made it popular, made it known. He brought it in the mainstream.
You know, one of the things that I've become aware of is that so many of the things Derek pioneered or introduced the body of Christ to are now so commonplace that when they're mentioned, we sometimes don't remember that there was a time when that wasn't the norm. And I would say that in the early 1970s, in the American experience anyway, with Watergate and the Nixon resignation and the end of the 60s and all of that, there was also an economic depression. People were griping more about their country really than they were praying and interceding. And Derek, as a man from the outside, had already spent a decade teaching the nation to pray and intercede. And so to kind of talk to us for a moment about what you saw of Derek's response to the nation and getting the church to begin to pray for the nation in a way that it hadn't been.
Well, he was invited to speak at Plymouth, and I think in the 1976 year, to celebrate the bicentennial, and he realized he didn't really know a lot about the Pilgrims or about Americans. And he used to laugh about the fact that he was the only one in the room that was American by choice. And he knew very little of the history. Once he really studied and dug in there, he found that America was birthed in prayer, in fasting, in public humiliation, in presidential proclamations. And that was the genesis of the book, Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting, and as I said, a whole year of teaching Americans, you need to appreciate the legacy that you have. I'm an American by choice. You need to wake up and appreciate and pray. And he used to say, no one has a right to complain until they pray. His text was 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. I'll bet I heard him 50 different times take that text. First of all, I exhort you that prayers, petitions, entreaties, and supplications be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and tranquil life in godliness and dignity. He would always say, if you don't pray, don't expect to lead a tranquil and quiet life. And then the final verse there, verse 4, says, the God who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And he was very clear that prayer and fasting ultimately had a spiritual outworking, which was revival.
Jeff, it's just so great to have you with us. Thanks so much for bringing these insights from Derek's life.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Well, listen, that is all the time we have for today. If you've missed any of this, or if you think you might miss what's coming up in the coming days, log on to derekprince.org. You'll get not only this teaching, the great things that Jeff has been sharing with us, but you'll find out a great deal about what's going on with Derek Prince Ministries. That's all the time we have for now. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow on Thursday as the legacy continues.
To get your copy of Derek's CD, Truth, Faith, Love, My God-Given Goals, free of charge, call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Call now and be sure to request your free CD, Truth, Faith, Love, My God-Given Goals, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or request your free copy securely online at derekprince.org, where you'll find other helpful resources, including Derek's biography, for just $19.95. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is produced by Derek Prince Ministries in association with Audio Aviators. Find out more about Derek Prince online at derekprince.org.